Almost Live from Nigel, it's time for this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Andy Dalrymple, and welcome to this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel. In this week's episode, shipping containers, school meals, and runaway trams. To try and give you a taster of this and some of the other news that's been hitting the headlines in our print titles and online at iomtoday.co.im, I'm joined by NewsHound's Jess Ward.
Hello.
Samton.
Hello.
And Distribution's very own Katie Kitchener.
Hello.
That was a nice pace.
I was waiting.
Yeah, it's good. So how are we this week, chaps? Sam?
Yeah, it's been a long week. To be honest, I mean, Adrian's been off. So I've been doing Tim Walder, Paul Spell all week, so I'm absolutely worn out because nobody understands pensions, and I especially don't. No. So
you've learnt a lot though through it.
Yes.
He's nodding, but I'm not convinced. Jess, you had a good week?
Yeah, really productive. So got a good front page there. Yes, and I've got a few.
What was that?
It was about young guy Ben Christian and how he'd been hit by a driver who didn't have any insurance, but he also hadn't passed his driving test, so...
But it didn't mean you'd be driving, in inverted commas, for quite a long time without a licence, didn't
he? Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So that was on the Manx Independent.
Yeah, front page. Ben's Christian, young cyclist as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, so he's a competitor, yeah.
Kate, good week?
Yeah.
You don't sound convinced by that.
No, I was just thinking.
Yeah, I was just thinking what a great paper The Independent was on Thursday, because it also featured Behind the Business.
Ooh.
Did you see that behind the business, the broadsheet supplement?
I did see it. It looked very nice picture on the front, and it was some nice colours, and I did enjoy it.
Yeah, it looked stylish, and it's available to download on the website, iomtoday.co.im, digital editions.
My third favourite tab. Yeah, so that people can go and have a look at that now, or it's still in the shops.
It is still in the shops. It's definitely still in them, because I rang all of the news agents this morning to check that The Independent's still in the shops.
We're still there, yes, thank you. We're quite busy in Nigel today, isn't it? I feel like we're sort of an audition for So Solid crew. There's that many of us. Because we've got joined
my
by...
band.
Are they?
No, well, not favourite. Definitely for a few years.
Well, just chat quickly.
Sorry.
It's a band, wear your favourite band t-shirt
day,
isn't it?
Yeah.
So you guys have all got... I can't remember. I was trying to think what was the last gig I went to. And I couldn't think of... maybe went to see James, were they over here?
90s rock.
Yeah, but they were in the, played the Villa, did they?
Might have done.
Yeah, it was couldn't have been that good, if I can't really remember. Sam, you're wearing which band?
Dropkick Murphys.
Yes, good Boston punk rock band, is that right?
Yeah.
I went to see Flogging Molly when I was at university. That was a night I'll never get back.
I've seen both of them, and I can't remember which one's which now. Because, I mean, I'm sure...
What's producer Emma got on?
She's got Flogging Molly.
Oh, right. I didn't even know that. See,
is it one of Mike's?
Mike Wade. Or Entertainer. Entertainer. He is an entertainer, isn't he?
Yeah.
Jess, you haven't.
No, I did have one just for a short while because Mike also gave me one. but it's really funny because both Mike and Richard Butt, our editor, have brought in their own band t-shirts, so they've been
their own band merch. So they got a stall in the reception for them off with a couple of cassettes.
So I think Richard's one is his band was called the Slimies.
Oh. Rolls off the tongue. Casey, you've got I see an avocado.
I'm wearing Pearl Jam,
right.
I remember missing school to go see them at the Astoria in 2004.
Oh.
But when I left home, I guess my mum threw away every band t-shirt I ever bought.
Oh.
So all those memories gone.
Tragic.
Gone.
It's a bit like my wife when she tried to do that with all my collection of football shirts and now in the attic, which, you know, it's essentially
dust
in the bin.
Yeah.
But I got sidetracked there, guys. Sorry. We've got two of our work experience students in this week, Sam and Abigail from St. Anne's High School. So hello, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
I suppose we should, you know, you've been in, tell us a little bit about yourself. So Sam, what year group are you in, what are you studying?
I'm in year 10, so I'm studying the compulsory maths, English, science, and I've chosen to do art, computer science, history and geography.
Cool, I love the geography and history, big fan.
Yeah, history for sure.
Jess is really good at geography as well, so if you want some
tips... I'm terrible at it, you know that!
That's why I said it, yeah. Abigail, tell us a bit about yourself. What are you in year 10 as well?
Yeah, or? I'm in year 10. I'm basically doing the same as Sam, but instead of computer science, I'm doing French.
Oh, I like that. You should talk to Katie. She's a woman of many languages.
I've got one.
Yeah, my French is a good one. But Sydneyans, big up the Sydneyans, Sam, representing, yeah?
Yeah.
Just a yep.
Yeah, we're alumni.
That's all you're gonna get.
Yeah, I don't look back at it positively. So.
Oh, that's sad.
Well, that's nice. Well, maybe edit that bit out. So, what have you got up to this week, then, guys? Sam, have you had a good week?
On Tuesday we went to court, which was really.
Let's just clarify: you weren't appearing in court. You were there.
And what did you do? Like, what was happening there?
There was lots of abuse cases, which.
Yeah.
Oh dear. So it's well.
what you would expect at court, really.
Yeah. Have you met anything else? Have you been out and about with anyone else?
I went with Jess to do an interview in Port Arran.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's quite nice. Okay, a trip down. Yeah. What was that? It was Southern Befrienders. I'm doing a piece about why it's important to volunteer and look after the elderly in our community.
Cool.
Yeah.
And Abigail, what have you been up to this week?
On Monday, I went out with David and we did sales at all the car garages.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So that was interesting.
Yeah. David will be showing you a good time out and about. And what have your highlights been? Have you had anything particularly stood out for you this week, guys?
I think it was...
No pressure.
I think our highlight, really, on the road trip was when this big peacock came out onto
the
road.
Yes, that was a giant peacock that stood in the middle of the road.
Oh, wow. Did you get a picture?
We didn't. We were too distracted because the steam train then went by and it was just like, whoa.
Literally all happened.
Yeah. All down in the south.
Front page news. But you've actually been podcast artwork as a peacock this year as well, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I have. I thought I made a dashing... Peacock.
Maybe you shouldn't say that.
Dashing, that'd be more like a male peacock.
Well, it is a male peacock,
There you go. Abigail, what's been your highlight this week?
Definitely designing adverts, because three of my adverts are actually going to be in the Courier.
Wow.
So that's really good.
That's
amazing.
Yeah. I've never had an advert in the Courier, have you?
No.
You barely get anything in the Courier.
True story. So why did you choose to do work experience here, Sam?
Because I'm really interested in journalism.
Right.
And I think it's important that the public know what's happening, really.
Yeah, fair point. Abigail, obviously you wanted to work with all those lovely people, but there must be other reasons why you chose it.
Yeah, well, I was really unsure of what I wanted to do for ages. I literally have no idea, so I got recommended it by Karen Lancaster. She's one of my really good friend's mum.
Okay.
She said that it would be a good experience. It definitely has been.
She's our accountant, isn't she?
Yeah, she works in accounts, So... You've been here a week. What's your impressions of the workplace? Have you enjoyed being here? No pressure. Don't make Katie cry. Have you had a good week, Sam?
I've had a good week. It's longer than school, but it's more interesting because...
Swings and roundabouts.
Because it's stuff that I want to do.
Yeah.
And at school, it's stuff that you've got to do.
Has there been anything this week that you didn't know that we did? Did you know we did a podcast?
No, I did not know the podcast existed.
It's the Allerman's best kept secret.
Yeah.
But has there been anything else you've thought, oh, I didn't know journalists did that or anything like that?
Well, I didn't know there'd be so many finance people.
Right.
There's loads of finance people.
Yeah, I didn't know either.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're the ones that pay our wages, aren't they?
Very much.
Abigail, what's been the highlight for you?
Well, I like going out of the office. That was really interesting. Mm. Definitely court, because I'd obviously never been there before. So it's a new experience.
And is there anything you think, oh, I might want to do a career in journalism or in sales or something?
Yeah, definitely. I think advertisement was interesting. It was unexpected for me. I didn't think that I'd find it that interesting, but it was really good.
Good.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, enough of the joviality. Let's get on with the news. Sam, starting with a story about Derby shipping containers. Now, when I read this, it took me back to my glory days playing for Castletown 3rd 11 at cricket.
Mm.
And we used to have to get changed in a shipping container when we played Derby, or grasshoppers, as they were more commonly known. And I thought, this is it. This is a story about grasshoppers reforming. But it's not, is it?
No, it's not. It's part of a £1.8 million redevelopment of
that shipping container. They're worth £1.8 million.
Well, there's other things involved.
All right.
There's infrastructure changes. They're going to improve lighting and signs. I'm not kidding. That was actually a big part of it, was the lighting and the signs of the industrial estate. Going to build 4 new units up there.
Okay.
And they're also going to put in shipping containers.
So, yeah, so I saw the picture which was in the paper today. Sorry, it was in the Examiner this week, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And it does just look like a shipping container with a couple of windows lashed into it, if I'm being honest.
That's what it is.
Yeah, so what would these be used for?
Community groups.
Right, so it's like it's going to be like a community hall space. Or
it's a bit weird. You think that, you know, at one point they were talking about Jerry being involved in the space race. You know, we thought Jerry was space-bound. And now they're not.
These shipping containers, how many are they going to be?
It's going to be three, four. There's going to be a cluster of them.
A cluster of shipping containers? Is that the collective noun for it?
Yeah, apparently so.
So how quickly can we expect to see these new
work is meant to start this year. So.
And has funding come from government? Or?
Yeah, it's come from the DOI via the Treasury. I mean, I don't know, look into that as you will. I just think that, you know, £1.8 million on this. I'm not saying that Jerby doesn't need redevelopment. I'm just looking at saying, would you put shipping containers... You know, they're doing Douglas Prom at the minute, right?
Mm.
Couldn't you imagine if they turn around and we're going to finish it off, we're going to have, like, a cultural centre, shipping containers.
People would hit the roof. Upcycling.
I was in Brixton a few weeks ago when I was in London, and they have... They have a shipping container kind of structure centre, and it's awesome. And it's got a wine bar and
important
Jamaican food and Venezuelan street food and record shops. Mm. And it's a really, really great space.
Cool hub.
Yeah, isn't Liverpool around the Baltic Quarter, isn't there stuff like that around there as well? So I'm all for it. I just think that
they wouldn't do this in another part of the island.
Yeah, I was
really
just wondering why Jerby.
Well, because that's got an industrial estate that needs improving, I think that's the...
Yeah, but this is going in front of, like, so it's going in by the Bretney Estate and the school there.
Oh, yeah.
And it's to be used as, like, a community base there. But they've got the big community centre, the medical centre and all that they put in not that long ago up there, which is...
And has that got shared space?
Yeah, it's quite big, actually. It's a big building. And I'm not, like, again, I think that, they're going to have, like, a green walkway and all this, you know, green space, it's great. But I just think the shipping thing is just, it's just such a weird thing. I mean...
I tell you what, though, it's got us talking. Perhaps it's going to become a landmark. Let's go and see the shipping containers in Jerby.
Yeah,
as
it's kind of like Jerby junk and how people would go up there. And like...
Maybe not the market. But I see what you're saying. They'll go and see the shipping containers.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. You can't bring Jerby junk. I mean, Stella was a proper cult of personality up there, weren't she? She was just a legend.
Yeah.
And
Nothing can really truly compare, but maybe it's kind of like a... tourist kind of thing, but for the island itself.
Come see the shipping containers. I just think that the people of Jerby deserve better than this.
Sam, I think you're wrong. I think when they're done, we're going up, podcast day out, we're going to do it up in the shipping container, use the community space.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, we'll get that sorted, yeah? Put that in the diary. Jess, moving on to a story that was in this week's Max Independent about primary school meals being under review. The content of it. Obviously, we ran a story a couple of weeks ago about the menu at the NSC, and we were slightly critical, weren't we?
We were
saying that
it's a lot of unhealthy
fast foods and stuff like that.
Yes, that's right.
And I believe this has been created in the debate. There's been discussion about what kids get in primary school.
So now we're looking at school meals. So the Education Minister, Graham Cregeen, he said that there's currently a review taking place on the meals. And he said that already the meals kind of fit in with UK standards. Mm. But they are making changes, one of which is they're removing some frozen foods for fresh foods, kind of replacing that. He said that already healthy food includes like fresh fruit, a salad bar, like multigrain, brown bread and water. But we've looked at what they have Monday to Friday and I've picked out the what would be classed as unhealthy maybe foods. And that includes like sausage rolls, oven fried chips, Belmont slice, which I have no idea what that is.
What is a Belmont slice? Sam, I'm a pie man and you are as well, and I don't want to flip a Belmont slices, but I want one.
No, I don't think I do.
No, I do.
I'm curious.
Is it named after Belmont Hill?
Oh, I have no idea. It just goes over my head.
We need to find out what a Belmont slice is.
And then we've also got rice pudding, creamy potato and gratin. burgers, and an Arctic roll.
An Arctic roll? Yeah, it's like an ice cream thing. It's like a Vienna, but not.
Yeah, it's like... It's like the most fake dessert you can ever have.
See, all them sound appealing to me.
Yeah.
But I understand why you say maybe not for...
Yeah, that's it.
So what are the healthier options? What have they got on there you'd think, I'd have some of that?
Oh, well, I've already mentioned some of them, but they have, like, main meals such as, like, beef bolognese. It's not too bad.
Sorry, beef what?
Bolognese. How do you guys say
bolognese.
Maybe like fruit crumbles, probably. I mean, it might have a bit of sugar in there, but
I'm guessing it will be as a crumble. Yeah,
yeah. So it was Daphne Kane that was kind of challenging the minister, and he also brought up along with Kiri Sharp about the NSC food again, but in particular the vending machines there.
Mm-hmm. So I read this, and he said that they'd moved to take some of the more sugary and stuff away, and it had complaints that people wanted them back.
Yeah, that's
in,
right. Yeah, he did. Yeah,
and he also argued that there are healthy options on that menu, so it's up to you whether you choose it. And I think that is a bit of a good point. You can give these kids all the healthy options, but they're not going to eat it. You know, that's where the battle's lost, isn't it? So perhaps if they're not, it's not what they're used to at home. Why would they then eat it at school?
Well, there's a difference between the school, though, and the NSC. The school,
I fully
understand that they have to give that wide choice, because, I mean, we used to have, at school, I think we implemented chicken goujon Wednesdays.
Oh.
So you used to do chicken goujon wraps.
You're working here.
Yeah, that was a big thing we pushed for, and you got a variety of wraps with different sauces, you got cheese in
it. Wednesday.
It was fantastic, right? So anyway, but that was school, but then, you know, you have jack potatoes, or they have, like, stews and all that sort of stuff on. Like a roast of all like veg, and that was nice. And then, but you look at the NSC and you go, that's a different thing. That should be promoting healthy eating. They shouldn't be knocking out burger and chips.
Kate, you got a point.
Surely, if you're actually paying to go and eat at the NSC, it is kind of like a treat occasion.
Yeah, I think
it's not an everyday thing.
If I've played squash or whatever, and I think, right, I've earned this, you know. But I equally do agree they could maybe be a bit more healthier. Like, their healthy option
they do
is sweet potato fries at the moment, I think.
And, like, jack of potatoes, too.
Yeah.
But it's not a lot of range there, I think. But
it's not a massive kitchen, either.
That's true. But what did you guys have in your school canteens?
I went to Bananas every day, for lunch. And then at secondary school, it was... I used to sausage bap and chips most days. Yeah. That's why I'm the fine specimen of the man I am, yeah.
Yeah.
Alakameen. What did...
I had a lot of packed lunches, but I remember I would always get chips, cheese and gravy on a Friday.
Now, this is a thing
that was like a thing that we did.
What we've been talking about is primary school, isn't it? We have secondary schools, because my stepson is at secondary school. He has chips now, options twice a week, and it used to be only once.
Wow.
So now Fridays, chips.
Well, I remember when I first moved over here, and I used to go into the canteen, they said, it's not as good as it used to be. We used to get, like, those little smileys, those potato ones, and we used to get pizza, and they were listing all these, like, really, like, fast food kind of items. But I just remember there would be, bolognese, and, like, lasagna.
It's really irritating
roasts.
For the G.
Sorry, guys, I'm going to continue to do that.
Favourite school meal, Sam?
Oh,
chicken goujons, obviously.
No, the Irish stew they used to do.
Irish stew?
Yeah, they used to do it occasionally because they dropped chips.
It's an idiot.
Yeah, they dropped chips on a Monday. Yeah. And, you know, for a while I didn't like Mondays. But then they brought in the Irish stew. Well, not the Boomtown Rats.
Yeah.
So they brought in, like, different sort of ones, but they used to do Irish stew occasionally. It was really nice.
Irish stew, okay. Katie? Sorry. Shall I give you a minute? Jess, what was your favourite meal at school?
I'd just say I just really looked forward to those chips and gravy Fridays. I just lived for those Fridays.
At primary school, I remember hating the chicken supreme, like, with a passion. Mm. Like, I'd probably cry when it was...
Chicken supreme, was it that bad?
She's crying now. Yeah. It's traumatic.
I can't get over
stuff. It was Irish stew.
I'm a simple man of simple pleasures.
But I did like... There used to be a day where you'd get a hot dog and tomato soup.
Hot dog and tomato soup.
Yeah, and it was like that's a weird combination.
With the roll, obviously.
Yeah.
Would you dip
it in?
Yeah.
Yeah,
because you're ripping and dipping.
Perhaps, yeah. I don't know where to go
that
with that.
That was at Annika.
Well, That's okay. So secondary school, what's your favourite dish?
I can't even remember anything from secondary school.
Oh, wow. That's quite a revelation. Good, thank God the kids have gone now. Yeah. Right, let's move on then. Sam, we'll go back to the heady days of August 27, and it's not time for This Week in History, it's time for the Runaway Twam.
Twam!
As Jonathan Ross would say. The Runaway Tram. Where you could have bolognese.
Shut up.
Yes, so, picture it. It's 2:20 in the afternoon in August 2017, and number two tram comes down the mountain, and one of the brake systems on it failed, and it rolled down the mountain for... I don't like how we've done this week, if I'm honest, right? We've used 1,400 metres at 44 miles an hour, so we've gone for metric and imperial. I don't like combining the two.
Oh.
So I'm going to say just short of a mile, right? It was just short of a mile. And it reached speeds of 44 miles an hour, picked up on the tracker that goes past the bungalow there.
Sandra Bullock on the front.
It went straight across the... I was thinking more Sean Connery in The Rock, actually.
Yeah,
it goes straight across the bungalow, the road there. And it eventually come to a stop just down. There's 50 people on board, 48 passengers, 2 crew. And this was like,
We shouldn't joke, actually. It was obviously a very traumatic experience for those that people are on.
Oh, absolutely.
It?
I mean, that terrified you, wouldn't it? Down the mountain, like... Yeah. Bat of hell, really, didn't it? Like, went,
But the reason we brought back these terrible memories is because the report has finally been published this week on why it happened, hasn't it? Well, not why it happened, there's a review of the.
Yes, and no, you see, because the report we had to FOI it, which Adrian FOI it about 3 months ago, and it was actually an intervention.
FOI for the
Freedom of Information.
Yeah.
It actually was an intervention from our favourite listener, the Chief Minister himself, Howard.
Howard Quayle.
Mr. Hi, Quayle,
Howie.
Adrian went to see him.
You'll get shot for that. That's like proper sacrilege.
Yeah.
Sorry, let's move on. Hope you didn't hear it.
I hope so. So he, according to Adrian, he sort of helped a little bit and sort of nudged the process along. And we finally got the FOI back on this, which said that there'd been monumental failures throughout the system, but they weren't placing the blame on any one person, but... Of course, since then, the trams have improved their brake system, and it was a condition on them going back out before this season started that the brakes would be in place now. So that's all been changed, and you know, hopefully nothing like this will happen again, because it is... But you got to remember, this is a very old system.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
You know, the trams, they've had to... You think about it, really, they're not replacing brake systems, they're modifying them and having to put modern technology on what are... very old machinery, which, you know, it's quite an impressive achievement. But yeah, until the FOI come out, we've been sort of waiting for a long time on this, but we finally got it, and that's Adrian's report there was in the Independent, pages 6 and 7 this week.
Yes, there was loads of information it's worth a read, especially if you're a tram fan. But yes, there's loads on that in this week's Independent. Talking about the Independent, Jess, if you just thumb a few pages on, there's a nice story you've written this week about a new charity that's been set up this week by a guy called Adam Hudgeon about mental health issues in the Isle of Man.
Yeah, so Adam, he's setting up this charity, and it's kind of largely come from his personal experience.
The charity's called Reach, isn't it?
Yeah, so Reach. And he set that up with Luke Adebayi, and he's also being supported by MLC's David Cretney and Tanya Marie August Hansen. And so this is him speaking about the charity now.
It's going to be called REACH, which stands for Reflect, Embrace and Create Hope. It's going to be based around, you know, just a comfortable area, maybe a little cottage somewhere. That's what we're ideally looking for. Where you can come in, sit down, have a chat with me or Luke, cup of tea, talk about life, hear our story, or, you know, you can talk as well, and we just relate with each other. So that you understand that there's people that are dealing with the same thing that you've dealt with. January last year, had a panic attack out of nowhere, sort of hit me. My life was great at the time. Completely shut me down for a few months. Couldn't leave the house, couldn't sit next to my son. I eventually got signed off work halfway through the year, so it was about 6 months. I spoke to someone I knew about it, and they were a massive help, more than the doctors were or anything like that. You know, I was on an 18-month waiting list. So I had nowhere to go. So I spoke to someone, and they just calmed me down and sort of related to the symptoms that I had. So that made everything a lot easier, and I started to believe then, obviously, it was anxiety and I was depressed. And once you start believing it is when you can start turning the corner and start to look forward. You know, I wrote to my mates, wrote in detail, so they understood it. And then I posted on Facebook for it to go through the roof.
Something that you said you definitely feel there is, especially in the Isle of Man, this big stigma behind mental health and being able to speak about what you're feeling.
Yeah, it's tough, isn't it? It's such a small island. You don't want to be judged by people because word gets around so fast. And you're so nervous around that if you tell one person, then it ends up being 80,000 people that look at you differently. That's not the case at all, really. I found as soon as I did it, a massive weight came off my shoulders. And I wasn't worried about what people thought because there's so many people struggling with this in silence. It was great to see the response and how much people want to help over here. You know, they'll always look out for each other, which is such a great thing about the Isle of Man. It's more of a stigma than you would get in the mainland because it's such a tight-knit. But realistically, until you do it and you see what has happened here, there is no stigma about it. Everyone's talking about it. So where is the shame in talking about it?
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
And so if you want to find a little bit more about that charity, you can either read page 12 in the Independent, or you can go to their Facebook page at ReachIOM. Mm. And there's also, just to add on to that, there's also a Social Affairs Policy Review Committee, which is looking at the topic of suicide in the Isle of Man, and that's having its inquiry today.
Mental health, obviously, a big issue, one we've discussed before, so it's well worth to read that, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
This week's sports story is about, I don't know if you obviously guys, I don't know if you're aware, it was the TT launch night this week.
I was very aware.
I
was in the building.
Were you in the building?
I was upstairs watching Fisherman's Friends at the cinema.
Oh, how was it?
Really good film, actually, yeah. It's a really little heartwarming tale.
Total distraction.
I just thought I'd stick that in just because I know it will really annoy our favourite listener there. Mr. Watson,
he was there. We were all there. It was a sports desk night out. It was Tuesday at the Villa Marina. It really does kick off the sort of build the anticipation towards TT 2019. All the leading riders were there. Myself, I was doing a live blog from the confines of the Royal Hall off our website, iomtoday.co.im. So if you want to, that's still up there. If you want to look at some of the reaction we had from some of the riders, there's loads of pictures on iomtoday.co.im/buyaphoto, which, because Dave Neil was there snapping his little heart out, and there was loads in this week's Manx Independent. So if you're a TT fan, I really do implore you to go spend your pound this week on a Manx Independent.
Is it quite an exciting environment to be in? Like,
it was nearly a sellout, and there's lots of people there, and you know, all the TT fans, and this is really when the anticipation really kicks off. We've got, I think, 60-odd days. I may be wrong, actually. Trying to think when we go, end of May.
So it's about 25th of May.
Yes, yeah. Just after my birthday.
Yeah.
So when the practice week and TT week arrive, what's that like for you and the boys?
Hectic.
Sport,
yeah, because we produce three special publications called TT News, which are a glossy magazine format, which you can buy digitally, can't you, Katie?
Yeah, you can go to iomtoday.co.im and buy past issues.
Yeah, but also you can also subscribe to the new one as well.
You can get in touch with us. In distribution.
And how would people do that?
Just, you could send us a letter. Isle of Man Newspapers, European House, Peel Road, Douglas.
Have you not got an email address or a phone number people could ring?
You could email at katie.kitchener@iomtoday.co.im.
And you will make sure that they're...
I can give you...
Subscriptions.
Yes, a subscription.
For this year's editions. I think the first one is that first week of practice is out, so that'll be the 25th of May. Right, moving on. Or moving back. Or forward. I don't know how you should phrase this, because we go...
Moving on back.
Sorry.
Doesn't love a bit of M people. This week in history, Sam, we're back in the 50s, back to the Isle of Man Weekly Times, the 22nd of March, that week's issue. And again, I've lost count of how many stories on that front page, and a standard cartoon.
Fantastic cartoon, that.
So which story's caught your eye this week, Sam?
Well, it's got to be The Reservoir, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Tim Ward says no, not without further consideration.
So for those people that don't have the front page in front of them, you want to give them a bit more background on that?
I was about to, but yeah, go on then. So it was, they wanted to build a reservoir at Little London.
Ooh.
And the plan there was, it was going to be a check this out, 150 million gallon reservoir.
That's more than Katie drinks in a week of water.
Yeah.
I like that you specify water.
So that was, actually, sorry, that was the proposed one for Glenrushen. And the a million one again up at Snuff the Wind.
Snuff the Wind, one of the best Manx place names.
So it was, the idea was that Little London could provide all the water that the island would need. And it was also going to have, check this up, in 1957, hydroelectric power.
Amazing.
Really?
Yeah. So it was the £879,375 reservoir. That's what's headlined.
Mm-hmm.
You've done a bit of calculations. What's that in today's money?
About 20 and a half million.
And I don't, and or a Fernando Torres or a Marco Arnautovic in football.
I mean, yeah, when he came to Liverpool, not when he went to Chelsea.
Yeah,
that was a bit more. We got a great deal on that one.
But is that good value for a reservoir?
What is the going rate for a reservoir?
Well, last week, it's half a break, that like a pier thing was 40 million, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, so half a. So I think I'd only need about 2 million to get my face on a reservoir.
But where would you put it?
Where would I put it?
Well, you'd know for the hosepipe ban, because the water level would go down.
Yes.
On the dam.
Yeah?
The dam of Sam.
The Sam dam.
Yeah. Jean-Claude Sam dam.
You've seen it now.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm really excited now.
So if we can't get you a break... so what are they called? I keep... It's
breakwater.
Breakwater. We'll get you a reservoir.
Great.
Yeah.
So, besides that, though, we have... This is one which really caught my eye. Teachers should not be pub waiters.
Yeah.
Go on then.
So, this is... It's about the Buchan School, actually. Yeah. And it was the idea that the teachers should be paid more so they wouldn't have to take up second jobs during the summer.
Oh.
So, it was, yeah, apparently there was a lot of teachers who were working in pubs and guest houses across the island during the summer to make a bit more cash.
That's quite interesting.
And it was Onken legend, whose name I can never pronounce correctly, so I'll let you do it.
Which one? I can't see where his name is.
The stadium's named after him.
Oh, the Nivison. Nivison.
Not Nivision, Nivison, as I keep calling him.
Nivison.
Yeah. Not Mr. Nivision, as I keep incorrectly saying. Yeah. So yeah, that was on there as well. And it's about, the whole point was that they were saying that teachers should get the holidays to refresh themselves for their work.
Fair point.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you know, that was what they were wanting to move away from, you know, this idea of teachers having to take up a second job and having money to live on, basically. We also had the bill for the taking over of the Manx Electric Railway. So this is the nationalisation of the trams.
Wow.
See how things come back round.
Yeah, and obviously there was a school meals thing as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I was getting round to that. So there's, you know, there's the cost
slap
of,
your hand there.
There's cost of children's meals are rising as well. Got another new cafe company.
Yeah, I saw that.
Because the island always needs, but... Interestingly, the Ramsay Lambert gone.
Yeah.
Now, this was the... many people waited in the rain... The rain. The rain.
The rain.
Yeah.
It's catchy.
It's Wayne's World. They waited in the rain and the wind on Friday in Ramsay to see the falling of the two chimneys at the saltworks.
I have to say, you've missed the biggest story of the week, I'd say, though, Sam.
Is this Mr. Keeley having something to say?
Yeah, I love that one.
No. Well, no. We'll go back to one in a minute.
Mr. Keeley has something to say, and this is him saying it.
What is he saying?
I'm trying to make it out. It's so small. I can't. I think...
should point out, we have got quite... The copy is a bit rough.
I know that he's from Higher Foxdale, and well, he desires to do something.
Says a lot, really,
sure.
Doesn't it? right, the story of the week, I thought, though, was it's carpet fortnight.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
So, why not buy a carpet? That's the advert at the bottom left-hand corner of this week, the Alleman Weekly Times in March 22nd.
RC Kane there on Duke Street.
Yeah, so buy a carpet, it makes a home. And isn't it funny now? Everyone wants those flipping exposed floors now, don't they? Carpets are gone.
Yeah, wooden. High maintenance. The wooden look. Or slates.
So I've just seen one at the top here of the Manxman and Wife in Earthquake. It was Mr. and Mrs. Ritchie.
Mm.
He was actually chairman of Heron and Brearley at the time.
Oh, there you go.
And he was in an earthquake in Jamaica, which was the worst earthquake they had in 50 years. It's just saying how they got home.
Did you see his quote? It was like being in a blitz.
Yeah.
He told the Times yesterday. So he was interviewed by the Times, by the look of it. The earthquake caused £300,000 worth of damage, or half a reservoir in that time. And there was loss of many lives.
They come home via New York, and they lived at the Crofts in Baldrine.
He's on a 5-week motoring holiday. Someone's doing well, didn't they?
I've been in an earthquake before. It was awful. It's like 5.7 on the Richter scale. And... we came indoors. Mum and Dad were underneath the door frames, because that's like a
safer space.
Yeah, it's like a strong structure. And they were like, get under! So we ran, and all the closets and stuff were rattling around, and things were falling all over the place, and the table was kind of shifting about on the floor. It was awful.
Do you have a dog? An animal?
Yeah, yeah.
Because
so they
can sense it before it happens.
Yeah.
So how long does it last?
Well, I just read his quote in that piece, and he said it lasted only 1.5 minutes, yeah. But it felt like half an hour, basically. And it does. It probably lasts... Yeah, probably 1.5 minutes, but it feels like so long. And the thing is, you have the aftershocks after that, so, yeah, it's not just one, it's just... And they can be pretty big, sometimes even bigger.
Oh, dear. From earthquakes to Katie's Manx Word of the Week, a sentence I thought I'd never say. What was last week's word, Katie?
So, last week we had Falkiltoshi.
Lovely.
Yep.
And what is that?
Well, it was linked with one of the headlines on the paper last week.
Okay.
About the horse that was hit by the Bentley.
Right.
That's pretty tragic.
Yeah. And so what is it then?
Car bonnet.
Yes. They probably needed a new one after that incident. So this week's Max word is
Prez?
It sounds like one of those, you know, those words you taught me before Christmas. You know, the millennials, was it not millennials, whatever.
Oh, like Yas Queen.
Yas Queen. Brass?
Okay.
Are you going to pick up my pronunciation here?
No, I was about to say you sound like Borat, but you have here my guide to pronouncing it. Press, like, yes, with a pr.
Press.
So it's like priest.
Press.
Press.
It's like priest.
See,
you don't
my
your
E
priest.
Sound really different to you guys, so for me it's like, priest? Like, a strong E.
Everyone's got a question?
Yeah.
Priest? Right, let's hear how it should be said then now, shall we?
Press.
Well, as always, none of us were anywhere near that, but thanks to the guys at Culture Vanin for putting us right, as always. Right, that's it for this week's episode. Jess, much coming up next week?
Yeah, I've got a lot. So, I've mentioned before the Southern Befrienders piece, but I'm also very... delighted to announce that I got to meet the one and only Harry Owens.
B-Man.
Is he back?
He's back. And he's like, loving life. So
did you ask him the pertinent questions?
I did. So I asked him...
Why it taken 4 days for him to meet a
bee? Yeah, and he said it didn't. I think they got the date slightly wrong.
Oh.
So it wasn't a very exciting question, but there are lots of exciting things, and okay. That I'll discuss them all with you next week.
Look forward to that. Sam?
Well, to see what have I got going for this week. There's a new steam train come to the island, which I'm really excited about.
What?
Yeah, you'll have to buy the paper to find out.
On Tuesday's Examiner, is that is it?
That's going to be in the Examiner. Hope.
Oh, they're going to give it a little name.
Got a name.
Gary?
No.
No.
Otter.
Otter.
Oh. Oh, is it? Oh, right. Is it going up with Groudle Glen, perchance?
Oh, well, give away the whole story.
Why is it called Otter?
Well, you'll have to read the story to find out.
I need to know now.
Or if you'd looked at Down Memory Lane in last week's Manx Independent, you would have already known.
Okay, well, research.
The Groudle Glen Spectacular.
So anyway, that's coming. Mm-hmm. And there's one thing I'd like to give mention to, was there's a 15-year-old who's organised a coffee morning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ridiculously impressed by this girl's work. So that'll be in as well next week.
Is it?
It's a coffee morning in memory of her grandfather who had dementia.
Okay.
And she's organised like this whole big morning, and it's about... people not just to like raise funds for a charity, but also for people who maybe have a family member who's got dementia and they don't. It's because
people
their thing was
that
people don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't understand what it actually does to families who live with it as well. So that was her point, is to try and get like a support network going amongst families. So she's organised a big one, which is going to be in April, but we've got her in the Examiner this week talking about that.
That's great.
Look forward to reading that. Katie, what's your next week?
Speaking of the Examiner, we have Home, which is a property guide special coming out on Tuesday in the Examiner.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like it's going to be a really good newspaper.
Lots of specials publications are out at the moment, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a lot. Producer Emma is working hard.
She is as busy as one of Harry's bees, isn't she, at the moment?
She really
is. Right, if you want to get in touch with us throughout the week and tell us how bad the show is, please do at IOM News Podcast on Twitter and, of course, on Instagram. We're down with the kids. If you want to read any of our papers and you can't get yourself to a newsagent, please do look at our digital editions at iomtoday.co.im and then click on the digital editions tab, famously the third favourite tab on our website. If you want to send us a letter, which is always nice, isn't it, Sam? Have you had any letters recently?
Not this week, no.
Well, stamps have gone up, haven't they?
So. Yeah, exactly. So I get more emails now.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
It's a shame. You can write to us, IOM News Podcast at IOM Newspapers, European House, Peel Road, Douglas, IM15ED. And then, Jess, if they want to give you a quick tinkle.
A little bell? Yeah, you can do that on 01624 695 695.
Right, until next week.
Bye for now.